Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At high noon today, no Tim Hasselbeck this week. We'll talk to Stack, Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt basketball coach. He played with Michael Jordan in Washington. We'll get into his Vanderbilt team. And a lot more with Jerry Stackhouse coming up at noon. But right now, we talk to our guy, Alan Bell. It's actually been too long since we've talked to Alan Bell, who's with the CBS Sportsline. He is now on the line with us. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, boys. Y'all doing all right?
How's quarantine life 2+ months in been for you?
Yeah, it's all right. I'm ready for something more than my living room. I'll tell you that. I'm sure everybody else kind of feels the same way.
Yeah,
but no, it's fine, man. I'm healthy, good. You know, I can't complain at all.
Exactly. I know you watched The Last Dance because I saw you tweeting about it. So I think you were locked in. Is that fair to say you enjoyed that on Sunday nights?
Very fair to say, yes.
Okay. Here is my question to you, Alan Bell. A heavy emphasis on the flu game, which we all remember, you know, back then. So heavy emphasis on the flu game. But a lot of things have come out since then. A lot of questions, a lot of people raising their eyebrow. I ask
Stuff
you
about
this.
Pizza.
It's a multiple choice question. Was the flu game really A, the flu, B, food poisoning, C, hungover, D, other? How would you answer that?
All right, so I would answer this. I would answer with D, other, because here's the thing. There's no way that they ordered a pizza on the road with Michael Jordan's name to the hotel. Like, that didn't happen. So now that they've gone with that, that means that the flu game is not real either. So we can knock both of those out. I don't know if it's C, if he's hungover, but it has to be either C or D. I mean, there's no way they used his name. Like, handlers of that guy do not do that.
No, I think the pizza delivery guy refuted that yesterday. He said he didn't know. He said they knew it was going to the team hotel. They knew where the Bulls – everybody knew where the Bulls were staying. But I'm pretty sure, because we played about 4 minutes of that interview in Salt Lake City yesterday, and he was the assistant manager at Pizza Hut at the time. He claims him, along with another employee, actually delivered the pizza. It was 2, not 5 people. You know, a thin crust, extra pepperoni pizza, that seems like a bit of a stretch for food poisoning. So you think C or D. What could other be?
With Michael Jordan, there's no telling, you know. And I'm not saying anything nefarious. I mean, there's just no telling. I mean, this guy could have been out all night. He could have been doing whatever. We don't know, you know. But that's the hard part is that, first off, I don't think that they just fired up a poison pie to send over to a random hotel where they don't even know if it's him or not, you know? And then if you've already ruled out the flu game, like, they should have just gone with that answer, even if it's wrong, like, because that gets people to just stop talking about it forever.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said yesterday. If it's the flu, so what? Okay, the story's dead. Okay, people get the flu. I mean, that happens. I don't know why this has to be so secretive. Now the narrative has changed, and so I don't know why it needs to be a conflicting story when, you know, it happens. People get the flu and people get sick. So anyway, all right, moving on. So I think we labeled this as a show, good intentions, and I don't want to say poor execution, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen, or at least there's going to be some revisions. They're obviously trying to be sensitive and kind of amp up more minority hirings in the league. It looked maybe like a good idea on paper. The minute I heard it, I think it was after our show on Friday. We were off the air, so we couldn't talk about it on the show, but I just shook my head and was like, yeah, that's probably not going to work. Not a great look. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the draft pick portion really was the tough look, right? Because then it just looks like you're basically just bribing teams. I didn't like that aspect. I thought that there were some good, I guess you could say stipulations. I like, you know, not teams not being able to block assistant coaches from interviewing. And I think that goes across the board, whether minority or not, because it's just really hard to line up you being the top of your game as a coordinator and a team that's a perfect fit for you having an open job. It just doesn't work, you know, in your odds in the NFL all that much. I like that they're going after it. Here's the hard part for me. Do NFL teams even really follow the Rooney Rule as it is now, right? Like, there's so many times where a job comes open and a team pretty much already has their coach, you know, ready to go. So then it becomes kind of a token interview. I don't like yeah. that part at all. And to finish it, let me say this. I think this is something larger than the NFL, okay? I think that there's, you know, things that we need to do to get numbers up of more minority coaches just to give better odds and better chances. And two, you know, it's something to where you look, you know, most minority coaches end up falling on the defensive side of the ball, where the NFL is pretty much an offensive league now. So it's kind of another thing that's going against them. But long story short, you know, the draft pick portion, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, how would you answer this? A team from the NFC, a team from the AFC. So one from each conference that did not make the playoffs. But as we sit here in now approaching late May, you like what they've done to this point. You like what you see on paper. And so they are going to go from a non-playoff team to a playoff team. Who is that team in each conference for you?
Yep. So in the AFC, I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think them getting Ben Roethlisberger back, coupled with that defense and with that offense, I think they're going to be much better than people think. If that's too easy of an answer, I'll give you the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that what I liked seeing what they did last year, and I think they're an up-and-coming team. They're going to get better very quickly. If I had to go to the NFC, NFC's tough because there's a lot of good teams, you know, really at the top. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be the easy selection. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, you know, who else? The Dallas Cowboys didn't make the playoffs last year, correct? I mean, I think that they're going to be a phenomenal team this year. So, yeah, I think we've got an opportunity for a lot of teams who didn't make it last year to have a shot this one.
Well, tell me why, and you're right, Dallas was 8-8. They did not make it. Go a little bit further on the first team you said. Why do you like Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh was 8-8 last year. Tim Hasselbeck, who normally comes on every Wednesday at noon, has not been high on Ben Roethlisberger's return. I know he has shaved the very, very long beard and the hair. He doesn't look like a mountain man living in the woods anymore, so maybe you're encouraged by that. But it feels like he's kind of definitely on the back end, staring at retirement here sooner rather than later. Why do you like for a bounce back for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, Hasselbeck is right. Like, he is obviously on the back end. This might be his last year. There's a very good possibility that it is. The reason why I like them is this. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to battle the Ravens, you know, for the AFC North. Like, they're not going to be that good. But they're a team that's balanced. And, you know, you couple that with the defense that we saw last year. I don't think that they're going to have too terrible of a regression back. A little worried about their offensive line. But they've got a quarterback who's been there before. They've got a running game. They've got wide receivers. I mean, they're just a balanced team. And you cut and match that with this, is that you've got a head coach who's experienced, who has been there. You've got an organization who is experienced and been there. Like, they don't get nervous, right? Like, I think that Pittsburgh, you know, again, they're going to be a wild card team if they make it. But I just believe in what they do. And with the AFC, I don't think the AFC is going to be as kind of top-heavy as the NFC is. So I think that there is a shot that they'll be able to get in. But again, you know, it's tough. I mean, the AFC South is going to have three teams battling for a playoff spot. The AFC West, like I said, is going to be better. You know, kind of a lot of it depends really on the AFC East. You know, how many playoff teams are going to come out of there? Is it only going to be one? But, yeah, I mean, that's why. They're just a balanced organization that doesn't really you know, even in their down years, they don't tend to fall that far. They kind of stay around that 500.
We're talking to Alan Bell. Always enjoy talking football with him. Alan, I want to ask you about something you put on your Twitter for Sportsline. It was talking about Mitchell Trubisky, because I think it's an interesting stat, and I think it's credited to Bill Barnwell for ESPN that put this out there. But I think people would find this interesting about the fifth-year option. The Bears didn't pick up Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option.
Correct.
And of the previous guys that did it, you know, the numbers are pretty interesting in terms of what this means for Trubisky and the odds that he's actually going to make it long-term with the Bears. Usually the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, it is, right? And first off, absolutely. Bill Barnwell did the work on that, so absolute credit to him. The stat is this. You know, eight previous former first-round NFL quarterbacks have had their fifth-year option declined. Not a single one of them made it to the fifth year with the team that drafted them. And to take it a step further, six of them didn't even take an NFL snap in their fifth year. And what that goes to show is this, is you've got quarterbacks who obviously don't make it back to their team. Historically, you know, like you said, 100% of them. And then two, they go into a backup role. And Teddy Bridgewater is one of those guys. Now, his situation is different, you know, just because, you know, an injury. But, yeah, I mean, you know, going off of Mitch Trubisky, he's really up against it. And there might be a shot that he doesn't even start week one, you know, depending on how much of, you know, OTAs and training camp that we get. You know, he's going to have to turn his game around very, very quickly because he has as short of a leash in the NFL as there is.
And it's interesting, too, that you would think there might be a bounce back or two. You know, somebody gets a different address and bounces back and has some semblance of a career. But reading the list here, Alan, is pretty interesting. One of them that's on the list is Jake Locker, and we know what happened with him. He flat out retired. I wonder, you know, would he have been able to rebound or become a backup somewhere if he had kept playing? But a lot of these guys just faded away and never even had any kind of role, even in a backup sense.
Yeah, and that's the hard part is that, because I'm with you. Like, sometimes just a change of scenery, a change of address can do you good. But at the quarterback position, one, you know, those jobs are taken. And two, it's really hard to come into another team, learn a system, replace whoever is the starter there, and have success. You know, it's just really difficult. And I think that's another thing that to keep it on, you know, to use a Titans kind of example. Like, what Ryan Tannehill did last year, and he's not in this category, but what Ryan Tannehill did last year coming that soon, learning and having that much success is incredible. And that's why I think Ryan Tannehill should absolutely have another great year. It's just very, very difficult to do.
For people that are curious about the list, Jake Locker is one in terms of guys who did not have the fifth-year option picked up. Jake Locker, EJ Manuel, Christian Ponder, Brandon Whedon, Johnny Manziel, and Paxton Lynch. And the two guys that did take snaps in their fifth year, Teddy Bridgewater, a backup to Drew Brees in his fifth year, and Blaine Gabbert, drafted by Jacksonville, saw eight games of action in his fifth year with the 49ers, which was more of a desperation situation there. And, of course, the two guys that did play, Alan, I think it's noteworthy, were definitely with other teams. So their original team had written them off. And so it's kind of interesting. This is a little different case because Marcus Mariota, they did pick up the fifth year, although he did lose his job in the fifth year, and now here he goes. So Trubisky and Mariota in particular, they're not quite in the same category, but in a general sense, you know, this is going to be a really interesting year for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's an excellent point and a good analogy. And, you know, again, you know, Mitch Trubisky, first off, I think the Bears are going to be better this year. I think everyone understands that there are short leashes, Matt Nagy included. And two, Mitch Trubisky can play. Like, it's not all on him. So he could have that type of year, and the Bears could re-sign him. It doesn't mean, you know, when you decline a fifth-year option that the guy's just done. I mean, you know, you could get him a new contract. Trubisky's got a shot to do this. The defense, you know, is going to help him out. I think they'll be much better again this year. But you, I mean, you're right. Like, it's tough to do. And Willie, you would know this better than anyone in terms of being, you know, an athlete that played at a very high level. You know, your mental game has to be right. And if Mitch can keep, you know, that in check and just work one day at a time, as cliche as that sounds, and just continue to get better and own that offense, he can absolutely come back to Chicago.
We're talking to Alan Bell, 24/7 Sportsline, as well here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And an exercise that Ryan Porth and I did this morning in the 9 o'clock hour is we did a position-by-position breakdown of the Titans and gave our thoughts on whether we thought they've gotten better from the end of last year through what they've done with free agency in the draft this year. And the offensive line continues to be a subject of conversation because they lose Jack Conklin. And we saw the bounce back that Jack Conklin had. Right now it's Dennis Kelly. It'll eventually be Isaiah Wilson. But how would you answer that question when you look at the offensive line as a whole for the Titans?
Yeah, you know, I think that the fair and correct answer is a question mark. And I don't mean to, you know, kind of scapegoat out of that answer, but we don't know. Obviously, you know, losing a guy like Jack Conklin isn't going to help, but you've got a remedy, you know, in Dennis Kelly. The big question, like you just said, is Isaiah Wilson. How fast is he ready to go? If he's ready to go week one, like if he is, you know, legitimately the best player at that position and is already ready to replace Dennis Kelly, then there's a chance that the offensive line could be better. But it all depends on how fast he's able to take that position as a starter, as, you know, not somebody who's just taking a couple snaps, but somebody who's really in there. He's the key cog for that.
Yeah, and I think, too, that it's maybe overlooked sometimes that you have to replace Dennis Kelly, the Swiss Army knife, and they don't necessarily have that. Quisenberry filled that role some last year when Kelly was starting for Taylor Lewan, but I think we've seen over the last 3 years or so how important Dennis Kelly as that go-to Swiss Army knife really has been.
Yeah, you see, you're exactly right there, and that's why I liked the pick, you know, as soon as the Titans had made it in the first round, because having Dennis Kelly as that Swiss Army knife, as your depth, as your most important, you know, number six, so to say, is incredibly important, not only for the Titans, but it would be for any NFL team. So I think the Titans are hoping and praying that Isaiah Wilson is ready to go, you know, basically week one, week two, because that gives them not only kind of a sigh of relief that you basically have a Geico insurance plan built in, but you can really, you know, just focus on, you know, Tannehill, Henry, you know, the wide receivers, tight end, whatever. And if you don't have to worry about an offensive line that's going to maul a defense, man, that it just takes so much off of your brain. You know, if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're, you know, offensive coordinator, everybody involved. I think the Titans are open for that quick.
And then another position group that I can't say that they're really the same or better. I mean, I said slightly worse would be cornerback. Now, there's a lot of upside. There's a lot of hope that Christian Fulton turns out to be what everybody hopes he can be, that Jonathan Joseph has something left in the tank when you're looking at depth, and the fact that he might fit better with some of the changes that Mike Vrabel could make on the defense because of their familiarity with each other. But how would you assess the cornerback position right now for the Titans?
Yeah, I think the fair answer right now, today, is worse, because Logan Ryan was incredible. And Logan Ryan, not only for what he did, I mean, he was a top three cornerback in the NFL last year, but also what he brought to the team from a leadership perspective, from a comfortability perspective for linebackers, for the defensive line, for safeties. I mean, he brought a lot of that. So there's no way that we would say that the Titans are better at that position right now. However, as the season goes along, you know, we might see that Christian Fulton really is the truth and really is, you know, just a stud of what everyone kind of thinks that he's going to be, what he showed at LSU. So the answer might be better by the end of the season. But right now we would have to say worse only because Logan Ryan was just that good of a player.
Alan, it's however. That's how it goes. The team that Clowney ends up signing with will be?
The Tennessee Titans. And here's
why. Think it's going to be here?
Yep, I do. And here's why. Because I think I think you've got a couple realistic options. I think the Titans and the Browns are your best bets. I don't buy into the Colts all that much. I mean, maybe if they throw big money at them, if they have an injury in training camp. But it's pretty much going to come down to Tennessee and Cleveland. And I think Tennessee, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, they know this, that windows are short. You've worked to give yourself an opportunity to truly have a shot at a Super Bowl, and you have to take advantage of it. And for them to have shipped out Jarrell Casey for essentially nothing, I know that, you know, a lot of that was financial-wise, but still, I think that the Titans just they have to get him. And this could be that final piece that kind of locks everything in. So, yeah, I'm not going to play the homer card. I really do think Tennessee makes the most sense for him.
Does the signing of Clowney make them the favorite to win the division? Or how does that change the AFC South in your mind?
Well, I'll say this.
And by the way,
we simulated the season 10,000 times.
Okay.
Tennessee's already the favorite to win the division for
really?
Us right now.
Okay.
And it's quite frankly not all that close.
Who was second?
Did get better, but I don't see them, you know, really truly, you know, winning 10, 11 games. I don't think they're going to be a team like that. So if you add Clowney to an already solid team in the Tennessee Titans, it's going to shoot their chances, you know, well above the 50% mark. And remember this, you know, with Indianapolis in a short, truncated offseason, they've got a brand new quarterback coming in. I know that he knows the offense, you know, from working, you know, previous coach-wise, but still, you've got to get timing down. The Colts are going to – it's going to take a couple weeks to get that in sync and get rhythm. So, yeah, I'm going to say the Titans are already the favorite, and if they sign Clowney, it'll be even more.
Okay, what if the Colts sign Clowney? Does that make them the favorite to win the division?
It would get close to evening it. You know, I don't think that, you know, one defensive player is going to make a huge jump as, you know, say, you know, a quarterback or, you know, even like a big time, like a DeAndre Hopkins, you know, a guy like that. But it'll help them. I mean, you know, that's a team that has a solid defense, that has a run game. It'll certainly help. But I still wouldn't put Indianapolis over Tennessee. I still wouldn't do it.
Interesting. All right, what's the show? Let's wrap it up with this. The show that you've been – what's the show you're currently watching? Are you watching a show on Netflix or what have you?
Well, I'll tell you this. I got into Dark Side of the Ring on I think it's Vice TV. And
yeah.
I'm not even a huge wrestling guy per se. But the way that they told these stories, and last night they had on the Owen Hart death, it was phenomenally done, and it ended last night. So I've got to find something new. But I really got into that Dark Side of the Ring a lot. It was incredible. A lot of stuff that I didn't know.
Dark Side of the Ring. Okay. Good to know. That's a good tip. Hey, thanks for doing this, as always. Good to catch up with you. Continue to be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Man, appreciate you guys so much for having me. Thank you.
All right, that is Alan Bell. There was CBS Sportsline. Always good to talk to him. I have not heard of that. Speaking of wrestling, Chase, have you and Marquis seen the unfortunate news?
We have.
In California?
Yeah, and that's something that we both have been following the last couple days. But very, very sad. Shad Gaspard, was a former WWE superstar, died saving his son. Told rescuers to get his son out. They got caught in a riptide in California, and told the rescuers get his son out first and come back for him. And unfortunately, he got pulled under, and they found his body earlier. So very sad, 39 years old.
Jeez. Horrible, horrible, horrible. All right, we will come back. Kenny Albert, by the way, will kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday. So that's coming up at 11 o'clock. Jerry Stackhouse at noon. Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. We'll come back and put a bow on the first hour next.